am so honored to be here today. I know I've said that so many times already. As you might notice, the pulpit's a little shorter than usual. We had to scoot it down a step because I truly couldn't be seen from my it's a tall pulpit. So I'm just so excited to be here. Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So our gospel story this morning that John read to us from the book of Luke places us right in the middle of Jesus' ministry. Jesus came to Mary and Martha's house as he was journeying to Jerusalem, and at this point he was already very aware of what his future would hold. He had already foretold his death to the disciples twice in the previous chapter, and his presence at Martha and Mary's house was a stop along this journey that would ultimately end in his crucifixion. This story is set in the midst of Jesus's many parables and all the different accounts of healing and feeding large crowds that happened at the height of Jesus's ministry. But we've all heard this specific story before, right? And surely each of us wondered if we were a Martha or a Mary, regardless of whether or not we're a female. And we'd probably even like to think that we would be a Mary if Jesus showed up at our house, because that seems to be the correct choice in light of the story. And what else would you do if Jesus showed up but to sit in awe? But how could we ever begin to guess how we would react if Jesus knocked on our door? I know that I always rush around cleaning when my mom or a guest is about to visit my house, don't you? Distractedly kicking shoes into the coat closet as you're opening the door, swiping up water glasses that are left behind as they turn around to look something else. We want our homes to look nice, to make ourselves seem put together, right? We always say, sorry, it's so messy, even when it's definitely not messy because we just spent the last 4 hours cleaning before the party started. We want to prepare delicious food to wow our guests with our ability to cook or elaborately lay out a cheese plate. Sometimes we're even distractedly still arranging the cheese cubes and the prosciutto slices while we're asking our newly arrived guest about their day, their family, and their job. Have you ever realized that when this is happening, you didn't actually take in any of their story because your mind was so set on the task before you? This is what I imagine it may have been like when Jesus entered Martha and Mary's house. Martha, anxious to impress, is kicking shoes into the corners and whipping up a snack, distracted by her tasks and hoping to be the best host she could possibly be to the Son of God. Mary, on the other hand, seems not to care about the cheese plate or the mess around her, which I think is a surprising quality that not many of us could replicate. In a fit of exasperation, Martha lets all her true feelings spill out of her mouth. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. It seems a bit odd to me that Martha would involve a guest in a debate that would normally be like a hushed sibling argument in the next room about the necessity of sharing the workload. But maybe when it's Jesus, you don't bother hiding as much. But this text tells us that Jesus replied to Martha saying, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. We often read this part as a rebuke of Martha's actions and a praise of Mary's. But what if instead of chastising Martha, Jesus is actually inviting her to consider something? To consider the fact that hospitality also involves careful attention and not distractedness. That all work being done should be done for one thing, graciousness through love. When Jesus responds to Martha, he doesn't just say her name once. He says, Martha, Martha. Now, we can't really read his inflection from the page, so I wonder if his repetition sounded more like, Martha, Martha, with compassion, or Martha, Martha, with pity, or with mockery, like that well-known episode of the Brady Bunch from November 1971, where Jan laments over her older sister, saying, "Marcia, Marcia, Marcia." We don't know how Jesus sounded when he was talking to Martha. How we view his tone in this story, though, influences how we understand his message to the women in the room, and really to all of us who read this gospel. If Jesus is speaking with compassion rather than with criticism, then his message becomes one that all of us can hear and take into our lives. It shifts from a message that prefers the contemplative life over the active life to a message that focuses on something deeper. This dichotomy, the contemplative life and the active life, and the idea that people still is an idea that people still wrestle with, especially those who seek to forge a greater connection with the divine. There's this idea among many religious folk that seeking a meditative, quiet, and contemplative life can lead one to a deeper connection with God. Take Thomas Merton, for example. He was a Trappist monk, a writer, and a theologian, among many other things. His life was filled with many different religious ways of being, and he's written over 70 books from the things that he learned and the insights he gained. But what sticks out to me most about Thomas Merton is that as a monk at the Abbey of Gethsemane near Louisville, Kentucky, he chose to live in a hermitage alone in the woods instead of inside the abbey with all the other monks. Only then did he really fulfill his deep quest for solitude. And by being a hermit with total, all-encompassing silence, he felt he finally was able to seek a deeper connection with God. But realistically, in 2019, how can we seek to live a contemplative life? We can't actually just quit our jobs and move out into the woods alone, or join a monastery that practices weeks of complete silence. We have to work to pay the bills, to afford the house, to buy food for the family, to put gas in the car, and on and on and on. And I think the underlying premise of what Jesus is saying here is not that we must always sit quietly and listen, but that we must have the ability to do so when needed, that we are capable of finding stillness, of finding rest in God. Fortunately, we gained many insights from Thomas Merton's life, little tidbits of knowledge that may allow us to find time to hear God or find time to rest without becoming a hermit ourselves. In his book, Love and Living, Merton writes, "Christianity is a religion of the Word. The Word is love. But we sometimes forget that the Word emerges first of all from silence. When there is no silence, then the one word which God speaks is not truly heard as love. But then only words are heard. And words are not love, for they are many and love is one. When there are many words, we lose consciousness of the fact that there really only is one word. The one word which God speaks is himself. Speaking, he manifests himself as infinite love." I really love and appreciate this passage because Merton reminds us that we must learn to hear the word from God, the word of love, through all the words that are constantly filling our minds and our ears every day, to find a way to parse out all the busyness to see what's really underneath. If we can hold on to that one truth, we may have better luck finding pockets of stillness to which we can really hear. In the beginning of the story, it's noted that Martha was distracted by her many tasks. And when Jesus responds to her further on, he says, "You are worried and distracted by many things." The word distracted comes up twice in this really short story. And I think that that's the real issue here. It's not that Martha was working, preparing dinner and offering hospitality. It's that she was doing it with worry and distraction. How do we carry out all the necessary tasks of our lives without being distracted from the reason for it all? And how do we know when it's time to set down the wash rag and enjoy the moment that we're in? We can't stand on the back porch hovering over the grill of burgers all night. At some point, we have to eat in fellowship with our company. The point, after all, is not the food, but the fellowship, right? The love that is cultivated by simply being together. I don't think that Jesus is upset at Martha's acts of service. Hospitality is a cornerstone of having faith and loving others, and surely Jesus appreciated a serving host. Let me tell you a story. Last week, I was at the children and youth pool party, and I was talking about this text with some of the parents, and one of them said, "Well, we're all Marthas here. The church would not run without Marthas." And she pointed at Jennifer Nix, then Melissa Hammett, then Dana Bryson, and said, "That's a Martha, that's a Martha, that's a Martha." And surely she was right, because it's the willingness of the workers that allow the church to keep running. Those who volunteer, who show up, who make meals that seem to appear out of nowhere. Like it or not, we're all probably more likely to be Martha in this story than Mary. And that's why I think it's so important to see Jesus' response to Martha as an invitation rather than a judgment. He's inviting her to recognize where the busyness gets in the way, where working constantly loses its act of service and becomes an act of worry or distraction. After all, in chapter 12 of the very same gospel, Jesus says, "Can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your span of life?" So I think the challenge here isn't to drop all of our tasks and take up the contemplative life. That just isn't realistic. Instead, what we're being called to hear is what Jesus is saying in a new way. We're being summoned to hear what Jesus says to Martha, as it would likely be said to each and every one of us. You are worried and distracted by many things. In the midst of this active life, how can we seek stillness to better hear God? Perhaps it's in taking time to recognize why we do the tasks we do. We grocery shop to feed our families. We volunteer on committees because we love this sacred community. We do all of these things to honor God. There is a way to listen for and recognize the loving word of God through our busy lives if we take the time to dissect it. But perhaps we're also being invited by God to incorporate a little bit of Mary's contemplative lifestyle into our own lives. Maybe that means taking 10 minutes to sit quietly, journal, or pray. Finding ways to incorporate stillness into the rhythms of your life and your household so that it becomes second nature and not a burden, not just another thing to add to the list. Eventually, through the discomfort, the silence may begin to feel more and more like God. You may find yourself worrying less about the shoes on the floor or the organization of the appetizers and feel yourself experiencing more of the love, community, fellowship, and presence of the divine. May we all find ways to seek stillness and hear Jesus compassionately calling our names, like Martha, Martha. Amen.